morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's Monday. Trustin', you're having a good morning so far. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday. Oh, how was your weekend? It was a nice weekend for me. The weather, though, you know, it's totally fall. I went in and did an excursion downtown Salem, walking with the leaves falling on the ground, of course, the rain, and it was so fun to smell the crisp fall air and enjoy, you know, the cooler seasons. And of course, you know, my little shopping spree, I had to find myself some sweaters because I've been living in Arkansas and South Dakota, and I'm not as well adjusted to this climate, so I have to get sweatshirts and sweaters and things and get ready for this beautiful fall. I trust that whatever you did this weekend, you had a lot of fun. I did have some sad family news over the weekend, and certainly I encourage you to keep our family in prayer. My grandma, who is 93, passed away on Saturday, and we're real thankful she's not suffering, and she just passed in her sleep, so we're very thankful in that regards. But now there's services and things being planned, and certainly if you keep all of us in your thoughts and prayers, that would be awesome. And it looks like I'll be taking a trip the end of this week back to South Dakota to celebrate her life with our family and friends there. And so as we continue to move forward this week, I want to bring this information to you. I think it's interesting, Columbus Day. Today is Columbus Day. And in South Dakota in 1990, they changed it to Native American Day from Columbus Day. And even though it's a federal holiday, I believe, and we'll find out a little more. I've got someone in the studio can give us some details on this, but I believe it's not even a state holiday here in Oregon anymore. But I wanted to play this from Wall Builders because I think there's some questions, and a lot of us are maybe concerned about, well, is Christopher Columbus someone we should celebrate? Is he somebody that we should honor from the past? And I found this from Wall Builders and I wanted to share it.
Hey, a lot of people are asking the question, should we even celebrate Columbus anymore?
Yeah, it's a question, I mean, from college campuses to towns and cities who are even actually taking away Columbus Day entirely off the calendar.
Embarrassing for Texas. Austin, Texas, capital of Texas, said, we don't want to celebrate Columbus. Let's have Indigenous Peoples Day, which seems like a really nice thing to celebrate Indians because there's a lot of really great Indians in history, a lot that are worthy of celebration. But if you say, let's celebrate the Indigenous people, the question might ought to be asked, well, which Indigenous people? Because they probably weren't all worthy of celebration. Nonetheless, the idea that we need to remove Columbus because he's a bad guy, not an entirely new concept historically.
No, I mean, we can go back hundreds of years. In fact, right here we have a collection of three books written by a guy named Washington Irving, one of the great literary minds of America, and he actually spent a number of years over in Spain as kind of an envoy for America. He looked at all the primary source documents that were there, and he thought Columbus was such an incredible guy, he should write a biography on him. And it's three volumes, but in it, he explains why he's writing this biography. There is a certain meddlesome spirit, which, in the garb of learned research, goes prying about the traces of history, casting down its monuments and marring and mutilating its fairest trophies. Care should be taken to vindicate great names from such pernicious erudition. And he says, look, this is a vindication of Columbus because so many people are saying Columbus isn't a guy that's worth celebrating, but the facts, history, says otherwise.
Well, and the idea that we're going to tear down the monuments of people we don't like, of people who maybe did bad things, and although historically there are some people that probably aren't worthy of celebration, the question is, was Columbus a villain or was in fact he a hero? Maybe somewhere in between. The thing is, today most people don't know anything about Columbus, really. I mean, kind of the one phrase everybody knows, right? It's like in 1492, Columbus did something.
Well, right? He sailed the ocean blue, right?
That's what it was. He sailed the ocean blue, but if he's a villain, was he a villain on that voyage or were there more voyages? Like, how many did he really take? And was he a villain on all the voyages he took or was there a specific voyage? We just don't even know enough historically to know, was he in fact a hero or a villain? So we're going to spend a little time going through and studying Columbus, finding out, is this a guy worth celebrating, or should we tear down his statue too?
And that's from Wall Builders. I'm going to put this up on our Facebook page because there's several segments that I think would be really important for us to get familiar with, particularly in this cancel culture that we're living in right now. I think it's important that we have our history, we know our history, and we can talk to these points in a way that brings education and brings perspective. Certainly, we know our American history when it comes to our First Nations people, and I think it's good to have awareness, and I think it's good to honor our First Nations people. But I also think it's interesting that there's a whole group of people that want to rewrite history and make it something that it isn't. So I'll put those segments up there and you can certainly utilize them however you'd like to. I want to say happy birthday to Jill Marie Foster. Jill and Dwight are great friends of our family for many years. We've known Dwight and his family, and they have the original hotcake house in the Portland area on Powell. In fact, that was my very first job at 14. I washed dishes there at the hotcake house. And Jill, I hope you have a super duper birthday today. Now, as we continue the conversation, as we move along on this Monday, trying to keep it interesting this morning, it was fun. I've been watching this gentleman on Facebook and social media, and I love, absolutely love what happened during the fires and how he rolled up his sleeves and got involved in his community to make a difference and impact lives impacted by the fire. And I thought from afar, I admired him from afar, and I thought, man, he'd be great to have on the radio, and he does some Facebook lives. And then I found out that he's running for re-election, and I thought, hey, maybe he'll come into the studio and we can have a conversation about why he wants to continue on as mayor. Derek Clevenger, I think I said that right. Yeah. He is here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning. You are the mayor of Almsville.
I am.
Well, welcome. How are you? You're awake.
Yeah. It's a little early for me. But
yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, it looks like you are ready to embrace the day, and I am excited to find out a little bit more about you. Are you from Oregon?
Back and forth. Originally born in California. My parents split when I was little. My mom moved up here. My dad was in California. So I grew up going back and forth between actually Kaiser and then the San Joaquin Valley down in California, growing up on farms.
Oh, yeah. So in the rural part of California. Yeah. What kind of farms?
A little bit of everything. We had a whole lot of oranges, lemons. Mostly grew up on a walnut farm. You know, that whole area is just a huge agricultural area. There's everything down there.
Well, I have a friend who is from the Ripon area in California, and he was in the Air Force, and I met him in South Dakota, and he informed me, kind of the same background as you, he informed me that almonds aren't almonds, they're almonds, or almonds. And I found out all kinds of things from that rich California agricultural area. And then you're here in Oregon in kind of the same, right? We have some beautiful communities and agriculture. How did you end up in Almsville?
Actually, you know, when I graduated high school a little early, initially joined the Oregon National Guard, and then after deploying in 2006, stayed on active duty. When I got off active duty, I had originally planned to go back down to California, and my brother's best friend was selling his house. It's the house I still live in Almsville. And I thought, oh, I'll buy this place and live in it for a little bit and flip it. And I closed on the house in, I believe it was October of 2008. And so a couple months after I bought it, I said, well, I'm going to be here a while.
All right. And so here you are.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you get involved in the community. You start, you know, finding your home and connecting. And what are you doing for work now? What is your...
So I am a defense contractor. I actually work full time in Africa right now.
Oh, okay. Full-time from home.
Well, so I do trips back and forth, so I'll actually be leaving the end of this month for a six-week trip to the country of Burkina Faso and then to Djibouti.
Wow, that sounds amazing to me. So what other countries have you traveled to?
I've been to Ethiopia, and then, of course, getting there all through Europe. But because of COVID, you know, this contract had actually just started. I came home from my first rotation in Ethiopia on a Sunday, and I believe all the COVID restriction kicked in on a Monday.
Incredible.
And so I've been – originally, this should be my fourth or fifth trip going back and forth now, but – It's just the second because of COVID.
Right. Well, and this transitions very well because I was going to ask you, how's it been with COVID and how's that impacted you, certainly with work? Mm-hmm. What are you seeing with your friends and the city of Almsville?
You know, it's funny looking at COVID because, you know, my educational background is actually in healthcare. My time in the military, I've been a medic the entire time. And so I look at something like COVID from a more healthcare-centric scientific background, and I look at the response that we initially had mm-hmm. when it was all first coming about, and I say, okay, you know, this makes sense.
Right.
And now it's turned into something that's so politicized that I don't think anybody really knows which way is up anymore.
You know, this happened, real story, up close over the weekend mm-hmm. to me, three occasions. Mm-hmm. Two stores that I was in, I'm trying to get along. I'm wearing the mask, but mm-hmm. I've just got glasses. My daughter made me a grandma, so now I have glasses, right? And so I put the mask on to go along to get along, mm-hmm. and it fogs up my glasses, mm-hmm. so I can't see. So I pull it down below my nose. Mm-hmm. I'm at a point of purchase, and the gal behind the plastic wearing her own mask says, put your mask up. And she's probably mm-hmm. about 17, both these gals, you know, and I just look at her and I say, I can't see. I put my mm-hmm. mask up. It fogs. I can't see, you know, and mm-hmm. and I just kind of push back a little bit kindly. But it's like all these little gotcha moments, these people that are sheriffs. So then last night we're shopping locally at a little mm-hmm. grocery store, and there's boxes piled in the middle like they had been stocking shelves. And I come around the corner and I'm kind of standing there in line. We're all kind of distance. And another young millennial, younger than you, though. Are you considered? I think you might
be
considered.
I think technically, yes, I'm a millennial.
Yeah. It looks at me and kind of steps forward to me and says, get back, 6 feet, please. And I was like, I didn't even have words. I didn't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. And Terry was just kind of like, oh boy, you know, and it saddens me. It's mm-hmm. what this, like you said, the mask thing, and if you have a medical background, you know that the science, now WHO is saying, mm-hmm. the national WHO is saying the whole lockdown thing isn't good. Mm-hmm. It's like the information conflicts with one another, and it just the common sense part. Where's the where's all the charts on common sense, you know?
Yep.
And that's kind of where you're at, too. Mm-hmm. So in Almsville, talk to us a little bit about how big the community is.
I believe the last estimate was 4168 was where we were at, so 4,168
people.
Oh,
nice. Well, that's similar to the town that I was living in Arkansas, mm-hmm. the town of Gentry. So, and that's including, tell us a little bit of the area in the map where you're at.
So we are about 10 minutes east of Salem mm-hmm. on Highway 22, kind of headed up towards Detroit Lake or headed out to Sisters or Bend, that whole area.
Well, excellent. So you're in Almsville and you're wanting to be mayor again. We're going to talk a little more details when we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 1220 on the AM dial, 104.3 on the FM dial, and streaming live 24/7 on KSLM.news. I'm Stacey Ann, glad to have you along this morning. And in the studio, we have Derek Clevenger, and he's the mayor of the city of Almsville. And Derek, you know, we were talking about COVID prior to, and I think the thing that's so frustrating for me in all of this, having moved back to Oregon and so excited to get to know the different communities and the people in the different towns, and is that everything was so shut down and so isolated. And then the fires hit. And I am so proud of Oregonians because they showed up and came out in support of those that were impacted by fires. How close did the fires come to your area?
About 10 or 15 miles. Mm-hmm. So just a little further up Highway 22, the city of Lyons. And they were just outside Lyons, which is just a few minutes from us.
So talk to me a little bit about that day. That was Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And I remember because my daughter and her boyfriend were here visiting from Arkansas, and we were in Silver Falls. We were like way down in the canyon, and we were coming out like, this is weird. What's going on? There's like ash flying and the wind picked up. And I'm like, I knew there was fires in the Detroit area. I didn't know it was this close. And all of a sudden it got out of hand. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about where you were and what your experience was and what you did right away.
The day prior, I was actually up in Detroit. I've got a boat that I moor up there, and I remember going out on the boat and thinking, like, wow, you know, there's ash on the seats and everything. And of course, me and my friends, we cleaned it off and go about our day. And I didn't really think anything of it. Go to sleep that night, and you know, I think the first little Facebook video that I did that morning was probably about 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Just because there was so much misinformation about what evacuation level we were at, mm-hmm. and whether people needed to leave. There was people outside spraying their houses down with right. water, thinking that, you know, the fire was minutes away.
Right.
So I mean, really the first thing for me was just trying to get some sense of calm in mm-hmm. the community. You know, Almsville is a small town, and when it's 5 a.m., the sky is dark red, and there's so much movement in town. You can hear everybody outside loading up their vehicles mm-hmm. and everything, thinking that they need to evacuate purely because they don't have the information.
Right.
And so, yeah, my biggest thing was just somebody needs to get a handle of this situation
right.
and make sure that good information is being put out.
Yes. And what level did you get to in Almsville?
So the highest we were at was at level 2. Mm-hmm. When I, you know, woke up and realized what was going on, being a small community, one of the big sources of information for everyone is through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see immediately people arguing back and forth and discussing back and forth, what level are we at? Should we be leaving? Should we be evacuating? And so I immediately spoke with the city administrator and our chief of police. And at that point, there was people who were under the impression that we were under level 3, which is immediately evacuate, get out now.
Mm.
And we were actually not under any evacuation level at all at that time.
Yep.
And so that's why, you know, I started putting out so much information and talking to people left and right to make sure that everybody knew. And so we went to evacuation level 2 at about 10:30, I believe between 9:30 and 10:30 mm-hmm. That morning.
Okay. And so then it was a matter of just keeping people informed, keeping them in the loop. And I saw you networking with resources and helping. Talk to me a little bit about what you did with local churches and charities. And
yeah, you know, I ended up doing a little post on it because it's definitely not something I can take any kind of credit for. We have another one of our city councilors who is a really great guy who's very community focused, and he reached out to me and just said, hey, you know, are we doing anything yet?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say at last count there was something like 50,000 families or 50,000 people total
right.
that got evacuated from the canyon. And he said, are we doing anything yet? People are setting up donation centers. Is anything happening? And at that point, I was so focused on, you know, other mm-hmm. aspects of the mayor job that I kind of stopped and said, oh man, I don't know. Let's get something going. And so I reached out to Pastor Mike Klein at Mountain View Church in Almsville. Great
mm-hmm.
guy. And just said, hey, you know, I don't know what you guys have going on. Is there any way we can use some of your church space and get this going?
Mm-hmm.
He immediately said yes. And from there, it just kind of spiraled into a huge ordeal with, I mean, I think I dropped off probably somewhere close to a dozen truckloads at United Way, as well as the number of volunteers we had out there taking truckloads of clothing and food and everything else all over the place. Originally we were thinking, hey, you know, we're going to get a couple of items to be able to help some people
right.
out. And the next thing you know, the entire church is packed to
the outpouring of support all over Oregon was mm-hmm. incredible and continues to be incredible mm-hmm. as far as moving forward and helping these people put their lives back together mm-hmm. and finding out about rebuild and all of those things. When you were in the middle of all of that and dropping off the truckloads and starting to hear the stories of survivors and those that didn't mm-hmm. and things, how were you? How are you processing all of that?
I think I'm a little different in processing that, coming mm-hmm. from a military background, having multiple deployments and stuff like that. I'm one of those people that kind of has a switch where
mm-hmm.
I turn things off and just do
work. What you need to do, right?
And you know, there are some people who can't do that, who probably would have been very emotionally affected by it all, just hearing the stories. For me, in that moment, I was just so mission focused on let's get this done, let's take care of people, that it wasn't something that really even registered with me. I don't think it really registered much until I was talking to actually one of our county commissioners at a meeting that we had, and he was in Detroit when the evacuation order was given, had gone to bed that night, and just a few hours later, you know, was driving through fireballs and was relaying that story. And that's when I kind of stopped and I was like, wow.
This is real. And you just hit something very important. You said maybe it's your military background and training. But what's really important for leaders, in my mind, is when there's crisis and the pressure gets really intense, you just do what you need to do. You move forward. You hear the information. You make sure the right information gets out. And you start taking control of the situation. And it's kind of a triage, in a sense, right, of importance. And so I would think your military background and your leadership position in a crisis is great background for you to have, and great skill to have in leading Almsville. You know, and you think about the future and what you want to get done in the next few years, you know, under your leadership. I think it just sets up for the next. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about city government, some of the things how you got there and what you want to do in the next little bit. All right. All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a wonderful conversation with Derek this morning. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem. Good morning, Almsville. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. No matter where you're listening today, maybe you're in Arkansas, South Dakota, Texas, Nebraska, and maybe somebody up in North Dakota. We're so glad to have you tuning in online. And remember, you can also hear us 1220 AM and 104.3 FM. And this broadcast, Hour 1 and Hour 2, will be put up on the podcast on our website at kslm.news. Later, share it with your friends. I'm sure others will want to know about the city of Almsville and the mayor contest there. And I'm excited to have Derek in the studio with me, getting to know him. And Derek, I'm interested to know how someone like you, someone who served in the military, you know, you're from this area, you have connections. You said you kind of raised in the Kaiser area partly. And how do you end up running for mayor? Tell me what happened in 2018. Lead me up to this, because I wasn't here then, so you have to fill me in.
It would probably make a good Netflix series.
Oh, yeah?
It's a long story, making it as short as possible. There was a public safety fee that was imposed by the city council. And that public safety fee was a $12 fee so that we could have 24-hour police coverage. You know, I am someone who is generally very supportive of law enforcement, you know, within reason. And so initially when this fee was enacted, I didn't really think much of it. And then I had seen on a couple of community pages some people making some complaints about it. So I decided to read into it. And the way this ordinance was worded, it allowed the city council to attach the fee to the water and sewer bill. And the way the bill was structured is that fee came out first. So if you couldn't afford this $12 for police coverage, you got your water shut off.
Whoa.
And if you couldn't pay the water for 3 months, the city could take out a lien on your property or your home. And after 6 months, they could foreclose on the lien. And immediately I said that doesn't make any sense. You know, essentially over $72, the city can now foreclose on a lien. And so I went to a city council meeting to kind of express my opinions. And, you know, I show up and I'm a younger guy with a bunch of tattoos and a backwards hat. And I was immediately dismissed by the council. They felt, you know, and looking at the history of Almsville, I wasn't surprised by that. The city council had a very negative reputation with the community. They had a history of overtly not communicating with the community so that they could simply do what they wanted without having any blowback from the community. And so me being immediately dismissed, to me, I took it as a challenge. Despite the way I may present myself, you know, I have an MBA. I'm an educated guy. I understand budgets. I understand how this all works. And, you know, growing up, I was kind of a nerd, so I don't really like bullies. And I took this as kind of being bullied. So that spiraled into a recall. We had three city councilors that were recalled. The election happened right after the recall, and pretty much everyone who was involved in the city government at that point was removed either via recall or by the ballot box, except for one individual. And we, for all intents and purposes, had a whole new city government, and I became mayor.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Like you said, that could be a film in the future, huh? Well, and I think a great admiration for you to step up when you see that there's difficulties and maybe where people are asleep. And I think there's been a lot of folks here in Oregon asleep for like the last 30 years, up until this pandemic especially. But local government has such influence on our day-to-day lives. I think people don't understand that. The best government, in my opinion, is your local government, and to be involved. How has things changed in the last 2 years? Do you see more people involved, engaged? I know your demographics, probably because of who's now on your council, and the awareness is greater. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, going back to having a council that was, you know, purposely not communicating with people, that directly resulted in extremely low voter turnout rate. And once the recall happened and the election where I was initially elected, we went from being, I believe, on average at about 27% voter turnout rate to now, well, that election in 2018, I believe we were at about 67% voter turnout rate.
Incredible.
And you know, you get what you give. I have made it my number one priority to be transparent and to be communicative with the community. And in return, the community communicates back.
Good.
Most of our city events, we've seen attendance go through the roof. When people have issues, I mean, it's a town of you know, almost 4,200 people. People know where I live.
Right.
When they have a problem, they come and knock on my door and we talk about it.
Sure.
And so we have a community that is very, very engaged now. I mean, I would stack our level of engagement up against any community in any state, anywhere.
Sounds like a great model for maybe our Oregon state government. I because moving back here, I had a lot of people say, why in the world would you move back to Oregon? And I told people in South Dakota and Arkansas, different places, I lived in Idaho too, you know, they're like, you're from Oregon? You know, you're kind of conservative. And I said, yes, Oregon made a great conservative out of me, you know. But what I find is engaging people to get involved in the process. And yes, I come from a conservative perspective, but for many years I was an independent. I wasn't registered in any particular, although people, I think, because I was in the compassionate side of things, and a Democrat. But I think it's important that people get involved in the process and own their place. They're going to live there. They need to be participate. And so what would you say to that person who's never voted before, never gotten involved in the process? What would you say to them?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say anything to them. I would say it to the elected leaders they currently have, even if that individual didn't vote for them, they haven't been involved. Obviously, that person who is in the elected position hasn't reached out and given that person the incentive to be involved.
Right.
They don't have a reason to be involved. It's, you know, to paraphrase Colin Powell, when your soldiers stop coming to you with their problems, it's either because they've determined that you can't help them or you simply don't care.
Wow.
In a situation where someone is not voting, is not engaged in our political process, I don't blame them. I blame the people that are in those positions for not creating any form of incentive or any reason for those people to be engaged.
That's very powerful. And it's not resonating with them until their fees are being raised or they're being taxed. I found out here in Oregon, to even put a kayak on a creek, you have to have a permit. That's just crazy to me. I'm thinking, where it's an if you're an Oregonian, you should be able to put your boat on a creek or on a lake without some sort of fee and expense. Mm-hmm. So if it moves, I think they think you should tax it or fee it. So it sounds like that's kind of your perspective, to make sure that we're responsible as government officials in how we're managing the funds and what we're doing to the people that we're supposed to be serving, right? Is that kind of your philosophy and your position?
You know, I from a political standpoint, I consider myself very libertarian. Mm-hmm. And I joke around with people, you know, I want to go to my gay best friend's wedding while conceal carrying. And if people want to smoke marijuana, they can do it legally. Mm. That's kind of my thought process on things. I leave you alone, you leave me alone. When it comes to government, you know, I believe that the local government does have a huge impact on people's everyday lives. But at the same point, I don't want our local government to have so much impact on people's lives that they have to deal with it every day, or that it's a conscious thing in their mind every single day.
Yes.
I want the local government to be a resource when they need it, but not something that's on their mind, not something that's interfering with their lives, whether that be through any type of taxation or permits or budgetary process.
Mm-hmm. So instead of being in fear of the government, having the government have their back in a sense and a friend to them and supportive, and having your elected leader willing to serve them if there's a need, but, you know, working and living together peacefully, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's so very, very important. What have you been amazed at in the 2 years, going on 2 years, right, that you've served, that you've seen happen in your community since you've been mayor? What's the thing that just amazes you?
The level of involvement of the community, mm-hmm. kind of going back to what I was saying before. You know, I think prior to the recall in this last election, a vast majority of people in the community couldn't pick out the mayor or the city councilors out of a lineup. Mm-hmm. And we had the same mayor for like 37 or 47 years.
Incredible.
He was around forever. And most people could not pick this man out of a lineup.
Mm.
Now we have a city government that is engaged. We have a city council that is engaged. We have a community that is engaged. You know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. There's quite a few people in the community that have issues with the way I've handled myself in the mayor position. But they can pick me out of a lineup. When they see me at the store, whether it's someone coming up and saying, "Hey, mayor," or whether it's someone giving me a dirty look, at least they know who their city government is.
Right, right. You
know, and that's a level of engagement that a lot of towns don't have.
Well, and the mayor is supposed to be the champion for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you're championing Almsville and the vision and the direction that you want to go and the things that need to happen. And in this day and age, with a lot of rebuilding going on now because of the fires and stuff, people are looking, reevaluating, where do we want to be? Where do we want to go? And there's a huge push to get out of the metro.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't leave the state, they're going to look for communities to go to. Why would someone want to come to Almsville?
I mean, I think with Almsville specifically, a lot of people want to come to Almsville because of what we do offer as a community. When you come to these small communities, you come to communities where people do know each other, where we have events that entice people to want to be there.
That's awesome. When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about the kinds of events you've been doing and things people can look forward. I know we have COVID, but still, we can cast the vision, right? All right, we'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday. Want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. And if you have any insurance needs or financial planning needs, I encourage you to get a hold of Bill Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. Continuing the conversation this morning with Derek Clevenger. He's the mayor of Almsville, and he is up for election here November 3rd. And I love the fact that you have 16 years of Army experience, and now you've been the mayor for 2 years, and you are trained with the Master's of Business Administration, and you have a healthcare education, Bachelor's of Science, so you're well-educated, plus you have practical experience, and now you have political experience, and you're probably the most non-political person I've ever interviewed, meaning that you're a norm breaker. And I like that. Of course, my background's in sociology, so I love to watch how people try to put people in a box and think that they know who they are. And you people look at you and they may think one thing, but what they're getting is totally, it's like a mystery in a sense. And yet it's not, because you're very transparent. Hey, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And this is where we're moving forward. So talk to us a little bit about Almsville. We talked a little bit about the good community that it is.
Yeah.
What kinds of events did you get going in your time that you've been mayor, and community things that you've been doing?
We've had a number of events going for quite some time. The big thing has just been revamping and changing those events to make them something that people legitimately want to attend. The big event that we had for many, many years, we just did the 51st, kind of with an asterisk because of COVID, mm-hmm. Corn Festival.
Oh. Unfortunately,
that event for quite some time was one that really nobody cared to go to. Mm-hmm. It was little more than a picnic in the park. And that was something that it was kind of the mindset of that previous council, keeping things small. And you know, people have joked around that Almsville was kind of like the town out of Footloose for a while, just mm-hmm. the mindset about everything. And so one of the things that we did was expanded it to a 2-day event from a 1-day event. We added a beer garden and some live music, just to make it something that people really wanted to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, adding a beer garden in a small town, it was a huge ordeal. But we also do a superhero carnival every July. We do Christmas tree lighting in the park. Throughout the summer, we do movies in the park. We have a children's program that we do in the park throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We do a huge Easter event. And it's those little things that create that sense of community that I think entices a lot of people to want to move to towns like Almsville.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's a lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, when it was incorporated and kind of how it got started? A lot of these towns have been like settlers from mm-hmm. the Oregon Trail, you know, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of history there.
Yeah, we're lucky enough that we actually have an Almsville Historical Society mm-hmm. and our own small little museum there in town.
Good.
Just looking at the history of Almsville. Basically, it became a city in the early 1900s, and it was a man who owned a large chunk of what is now the city of Turner, had property that mm-hmm. is now the city of Almsville,
mm-hmm.
and named it after his son-in-law.
Okay.
Who I believe the way you would actually pronounce his name was Amos or Amos,
mm-hmm.
and that became the town of Almsville.
I love it. And so there's some history there, mm-hmm. and it's important that we know that. And as we move forward, there's certainly some things that you want to get accomplished. And when we get into hour two, mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit of like some of your goals and reasons why people should reelect you and things like that, if we get into that conversation. But how do people find you, like if they want to know more about your election and who you are as a person? Maybe they live in Salem and they're like, I'm thinking about moving to Almsville and want to know a little more. Do you have a website, or how can they find out more about you?
The millennial in me. I have a Facebook page. It's just Derek Clevenger, Mayor of Almsville.
Okay.
And that really is the biggest source of information about what's going on in the city of Almsville or issues that we're encountering, you know, with the city council and what the city government is doing. And that, again, that's just something that really kind of sparked out of a desire to be communicative with the community. It was mm-hmm. something that wasn't there before. As much as some people may want to hate on social media, it is the single most powerful communication medium on the planet right now.
In real time.
Mm-hmm.
We joked a little bit about doing like live FaceTime live or something here while we were on the radio, just because people are curious. They want to know and they want to stay engaged in the process. And when they do, they own it, right?
Yeah.
And good, bad, or indifferent, that's part of where we're at right now in society. What is the biggest difficulty being mayor? What's the biggest challenge?
I mean, that's a hard question for me. It's And again, I kind of have a different mindset than some people. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I don't understand how you can deal with some of these people hating on you sometimes and things like that. For me, it's all water off a duck's back. It doesn't bug me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most difficult thing has been dealing with, and I don't say it in a derogatory way, but the lack of background information or the lack of education about governmental process that some people have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about, you know, our water system or our infrastructure or whatever else. And there's people that think that, you know, the city of Almsville is making a bunch of money off of our water system. We're not. That's a break-even utility. But they don't understand that. They don't know that. And so trying to educate community members on how our process works, or, you know, which roads in town are actually owned by county and which ones are owned by the city, or how the budgetary process works for the police department, and that, you know, our police budget isn't so high because – you know, we're letting our officers go to the range and play Rambo every single day. It's because we have such a huge, you know, PERS, the state retirement system requirement,
right,
that it eats up half of the budget just dealing with that. And these are things that unless people take the time to educate themselves on it, they don't understand it. They just look at it and say, well, there's all this money floating around. Mm. Well, there's really not.
Yes. And that's where your MBA comes in, being able to look at the numbers and being able then take the numbers and then talk about them in a way that makes everyday people understand, hopefully, or at least gives them the ability to try to understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we move into this next hour, we're going to go into hour two here shortly. I want us to talk more about some real practical infrastructure things and things that you want to look forward to in the future. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and wonderful conversation today with Derek Clevenger. He's the mayor of Almsville, and he's going up for re-election November 3rd. And if you're in that area, you have family or friends in that area, you want to make sure that you tell them to tune into the podcast, because we're going to put this up on the website and we can share it. And as we move through the next couple weeks, friends, we're going to have more candidates here in the studio. And if you have questions that you want to submit or you want to join the conversation on the phone line, we encourage you to do so. Our studio line, 503-589-1220. We're going into the second hour. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Remember, no matter what we're going through, over, under, around, or through, you and I are overcomers. Look forward to seeing you in hour two, coming up next.